We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We're talking Saturday's three-game slate at DraftKings. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by the dancing Jordan Cooper over there and Ryan Belongi. Before we get into all the Liverpool discussion, are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and have actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards, soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That's SORARE.com. Jordan, are you dancing because you're going to be using Mohamed Salah at 12,000 in cash games, or are you not going to be using him?
Most likely not going to use him, and then 2 hours later, figure out why I have $0, right? I think the thing that we need to highlight on this show versus all other shows, how is this show different from all other shows? It's Hanukkah time. Why not throw that in? Because of the midweek games and the Champions League coming up, we're also in December. It's going to be a lot of fixture congestion. What we say on this podcast may not matter come an hour before lock because there may be rotation. I saw a quote from a press conference earlier today that Klopp possibly could rotate six or seven guys in this game.
He said it was next week. He's not going to this weekend.
He's not going to do it this week, but maybe next week. I was confused because their next Champions League fixture is like doesn't even matter.
Right.
So like I would think that he's more likely to just play, you know, the B team during that game. So did I just get the quote wrong that he's more likely to do that for the Champions League and not this Saturday?
One of us got it wrong. I think he said he's not going to rotate like six, seven, eight guys this weekend because he's going to do it next week at midweek against Porto or whoever they're playing. So I don't think we have to worry about that.
We do have to worry about all the other time. I mean, we still have Brighton, whether or not Gross is going to play. I mean, he didn't play in the last game. Obviously Newcastle, we got guys coming back from yellow card accumulation and suspensions. So I just always want to highlight. I mean, a lot of times when we do this, you know, when they're playing like just once per week, you know, we get surprises all the time. I mean, that's some of the edge in DFS soccer is that, you know, we're going by the projected starting 11s, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way when they come out. But now with fixture congestion, I think to be more cognizant that we have to expect the unexpected sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And well, we do have it's open next week, I believe, for all the teams other than Liverpool. But yeah, like you said, they have Champions League. Then they're probably going to play their B squad. But either way, Liverpool biggest favorite on the slate. It seems like, I don't know, last few slates we've talked about, Liverpool are on the slate. And maybe they weren't the biggest favorite midweek, but they were still the team that decided things, and they're going to be the team that decides things again this week. So at least on Saturday. So their projected goal total here, two goals no one else is above 1.5. And I guess we're just pretty much going to start there. So at forward, we got to decide between what Liverpool guys we're using for anything, I guess, really.
It's tight pricing. Like, if you're playing cash games, this is not a straightforward slate at all. I can't see how you're getting away with playing $12,000 a lot in cash games. Because, I mean, it's hard enough as it is to fit in the guys that you want otherwise. I think more of the question is, do you play any of these Liverpool forwards? Do you pay down at forward? Because also, because remember, we got Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson in the defender slots that are the high. So Trent Alexander may be the highest floor player in all of soccer DFS. I think the question more comes in we have Gross, if he's in, Gross versus Mane, something like that. Like, Gross, if he's in with no March, obviously has a higher floor than Mane, but Mane's ceiling is much higher. And if you're not going to play Mane in the forward spot and you're not going to play Salah in the forward spot, you're probably not playing Jota in the forward spot. Like, so you're just not playing Liverpool, I guess. I mean, like, and it's a 3-game slate and they have the highest total and they're the biggest favorite. So to me, the question comes into what do you do at the forward spot? Assuming that you're not going to play Salah, is Mane at 8,200 worth playing if you're not going to play Gross? And then we obviously have like McNeil and obviously Trussard if Gross and March aren't in. Then you also have Maxwell Cornet at 6,700, which I don't think is going to be that much of a play if Westwood is back. Because then it's going to be primarily Westwood and McNeil. And if anything, well, maybe Cornet will get a couple of set pieces. But are we looking at two of these types of guys? Or are we looking at one and then going down? I think in GPP, you're more likely to pay up twice. And because there's plenty of goal scorers up here. But in cash games, it's like it's tough to fit in. It's tough to near impossible to fit in like Mane plus Gross and then get Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm not even sure. If you're going to do that, essentially you're sacrificing James Ward-Prowse to do so. And I'm not sure if that is optimal, at least for cash games.
Yeah, at least for cash games. I want to play Ward-Prowse. There's not that much at midfield on a 3-game slate. You know, he should be a pretty good play, you know, assuming he has a better game than he has at least last game when everyone rostered him for 7,000. So just in general, I want to play three defenders on this slate. There's a lot of good defenders. Trent Alexander-Arnold is probably one of them. The other two would also be over 5,000. So it's like very hard to pay up for two forwards. I agree. Basically impossible. I was coming to the same question, basically. Pascal Gross or Sadio Mane? I'm not sure there's a correct answer. I mean, yeah, Gross has the higher floor. Mane's floor is okay, but again, you're not rostering him for that. At the other forward position, I mean, what do you think of Chris Wood, Jordan? He has, you know, he has the fifth highest goal scoring odds on the slate. If you eliminate Liverpool, only Callum Wilson has better goal scoring odds than Chris Wood. I think he's a good GPP play regardless. It's surprising that I'm considering him in cash on a 3-game slate like this.
No, but I mean, you'd be playing him. From a goal scoring odds perspective, I would agree with you. He provides the most line value. Just understand his floor is nothing, and he doesn't necessarily play 90 minutes. So, to me, it's the same. Like, you don't even have to tell me that information. It's essentially the strategy of punting at your second forward spot with the cheapest available forward. Maybe that's Nathan Tella on Southampton if he starts. Maybe that ends up being, who? I mean, like, Like, it's not like you like any of these players or anything like that, but what's the dramatic floor difference between Wood and Che Adams for 1500 more? Floor perspective, nothing, right? Armstrong at 6400. Or you take the Raul Jimenez is a heavy underdog like that. I wouldn't do that. So it really comes down to like, or you take Vidra, or I mean, Goodmundson probably doesn't start. Like, essentially, the question is, Walcott, if he starts at 4,000, to me, the question isn't, is Wood a good play? Is that, what does your line of construction look like as a whole? And are you willing to take a $4,000 to $5,000 player in your forward spot more so than a $4,000 to $5,000 midfielder and not have to play another high-priced forward? So, like, if you're going to plug in either Gross or Mane, plug in James Ward-Prowse, plug in Trent Alexander-Arnold, like, would you rather spend $7,500 on McNeil or play Andrew Robertson at 6,600 in your other defender spot and not have to play like a $3,200 defender in that spot? You, to me, in the cash build, you're going to have to punt somewhere, right? And if the options, what?
Maybe two places.
Maybe two places. But if one, if you're going to have to punt at least one of them, when the floor difference is outside of probably Gross, doesn't matter all that much for their price, why not just punt it forward? And if Chris Wood only gets 2 points, like, hey, as long as you get double digits in all your other spots, you're fine.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any consideration for not playing Alexander Arnold? And I say that because there's three other defenders you could play. I mean, Robertson, Ryan Fraser would look awfully good as a defender playing on the wing, and, you know, Lamptey or Cucurella. You know, those are three pretty good defenders. If you didn't play Trent, you could spend up at both your forward spots. You know, I lean towards playing Trent, but it's at least a conversation when he's 9,000 and you have other good options.
Right. I think it's an opportunity cost question because we have, I think the best position on this slate is defender. So you only can roster three at most. And being that you have value at defender, value enough, at least in the mid range, is Trent Alexander-Arnold necessary? If you could just play, you know, Robertson at 6,600 and then two guys around 5,000, not have to punt it forward, that may be a, better option only because you're like, if you're going to punt in two spots, like, you're only going to be able to play one of those types of, you're only going to be able to play two of those types of defenders, even with Trent Alexander-Arnold. So you're punting at forward and then you're also punting at a midfield spot. Like, you're punting at a utility spot, but that utility punt is like 3,500, and that's either like a center back or a defensive midfielder. So I've built constructions that it's, if you're going to pay up twice at forward, like if you're going to play Gross Mane type of lineup, that would be a non-Trent Alexander-Arnold lineups, right? But it really comes down to what are you doing at forward between those two, and then what are you doing at midfield? And with the fact that midfield is so weak on this slate, I think the opportunity cost of not playing James Ward-Prowse outweighs having to play Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even if Ward-Prowse isn't like just that great of a play in a vacuum, I mean, I know there's differing opinions on Ward-Prowse. He busts quite often, but the opportunity cost, yeah, is a lot. Like, the defender's just so weak. It still seems like Ward-Prowse is one of the first guys in your cash game lineup.
I mean, look at this midfield position. If we take out the forward eligible midfielders, we have Ward-Prowse at 7,700, Jordan Henderson at 6,000, Milner, who's not going to be Westwood. Like, I like Westwood at 5,400. Solly March, if he's in, but if you're playing Solly March, you don't have the Gross problem because you're not playing Gross, right? El Niasi, if he happens to be in, I mean, like, Shelvey with Frazier and Richie in, I don't care that much about Shelvey at 4,500. Like, you get Jacob Motor, Joe Moutinho is a big underdog. I mean, like, there's not much, there's really not much here at all. Like, once you start getting into underneath Westwood, I almost feel like you might as well just go all the way down and click on the green button that's there. You know, go down and play Yves Bissouma at 3,400 and or Hendrick or whoever, Brownhill, whoever happens to be in. And that's just as good as paying $1,500 more for any of the other midfielders. But, like, midfield is awful. So, and you have to roster two. So imagine not playing James Ward-Prowse. So now you're going to have to play Westwood plus Bissouma at your midfield spots just so you can pay up for Trent Alexander-Arnold. And you still have money for two other defenders, but, like, what are you using it for? Like, why do you have Motor and Westwood in your lineup? I'd much rather have James Ward-Prowse because you have to roster two midfielders.
Right, which is much different at defender because, you know, I was talking about maybe fading Trent. And it would be for Robertson because I don't know about you, but I don't think you're playing both Trent and Robertson, like even in cash.
So you like, can. I mean,
yeah, of course you can. But like for me, the first defender in the lineup, like could be Ryan Fraser, just when you consider price and everything. So if it's a decision between Trent and Robertson, like Robertson equals Trent, you know, often enough, or at least doesn't get crushed by Trent often enough. So like, it's an interesting question. And, you know, I'm trying to sort of talk myself, you know, into it more because I just want to play Trent, like no matter what, especially on three game slates, just makes a lot of sense. If he's going to score 20, like you kind of need to have him. But just with the position being so strong, like you can make the argument for it. It does make your lineup a lot better if you don't have to play Chris Wood at forward.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff at
yeah, I have a question just in terms of Ward-Prowse here. So if Nathan Tella starts again, I believe he took – it doesn't show in our numbers here because I believe he took three short corners and none of them were actually crosses in that match. He did – I just don't know why it's not showing for us from Opta here, but he did take some corners in that game. And then I just think the matchup there is lower scoring. It's expected to be defensive, 2.5 implied goal total. Looking at last year, Ward-Prowse had seven corners in two matches against Brighton last season. Like, I don't know, we're talking like this is like automatic Ward-Prowse, 10 points kind of thing, but like he had those big games against teams like Norwich and Villa when they're struggling, Watford. Like I just don't know if like it's just guaranteed here.
I think Ward-Prowse and GPP is probably like is to me the easiest fade. Like but you're not fading Ward-Prowse and GPPs to play a midfield eligible player in your midfield spot. You're playing a forward eligible player in your midfield spot. So for instance, you're taking out Ward-Prowse. And you're playing Joe Linton there. You're playing Callum. You know, you're playing Saint Maximin, or you're playing some type of goal threat in that spot. You're playing. There's not much. I mean, you probably still have to punt in one of the spots, but I think it's more likely that when you fade Ward-Prowse, it's because you're going to use the 7,700 to pay for Callum Wilson to play for
could be Salah, Jota, or Mane,
or Salah, or right. You're doing goal scorers. You're not like finding another like floor play. I think James Ward-Prowse in cash games, you know, like I'll just put him in, and if he like I'll lose every slate. I just put James Ward-Prowse and just like you run me down if you're not going to play him on this slate with no midfielders to play. That's perfectly fine with me.
What's wrong with like Westwood and Jonjo Shelvey? Like even if Shelvey doesn't have set pieces, like he's getting more forward under Eddie Howe. Like he has seven shots last three matches. Sure, he's Jonjo Shelvey, but he's 4,500, and like if he can get you 6 floor points, and Ward-Prowse is gonna get 8 points at 7,700. Like what's the real difference there outside of, you know, PK responsibilities?
Well, I don't think Shelvey has that high of a floor.
He's shown it though. He's shown it under Eddie Howe. Like, he had five shots at
Arsenal. Eddie Howe, how much of a sample size is that? What are we talking
well,
about?
Well, I don't know. He's a different manager, though. Like, they play completely different under Howe than they do Steve Bruce, though. I mean, that's
– I'm not saying Shelvey's a bad play. I think Shelvey's fine. But it's not someone I'm rushing to put in my lineup. Do I want my lineup to have multiple Newcastle players in it? I mean, it's a three-game slate. You have that much of a
shot. Home against Burnley.
Does it – James Ward-Prowse, we have three-plus years sample size. You tell me that James Ward-Prowse is going to be at home against Brighton and he's 7,700 on a three-game slate? Like, dude, like he's playable at like 9,000 this slate. So, like, if I'm not going to play him at 7,700 here in cash games, like, then when do I?
Well, he's playable at 9,000, but that's on slates without Alexander-Arnold. That's what we're – I don't know.
Yeah, but we have other defenders. We have so many there are two teams on this slate. I was going to say before, like – two of the teams on the slate play with wingbacks. And then the Southampton fullbacks are fairly attacking also. So unlike the defender spot, like we have Frazier and if Richie's back also. So you have two wingbacks there. You have Lamptey, you have Cucurella. Yeah, I mean, and then Livramento and Walker Peters. I mean, who are active fullbacks for Southampton. It's just like all of these guys... Like at 5K, four, high fours, low fives, I like better than Jonjo Shelvey. So like if I have the choice of playing a 5K type of guy, I'd rather plug them in my defender spots and not play Ward-Prowse at my midfield spot and then forgo Trent Alexander.
Yeah, okay. So this is crazy, though. This is to add to what Adam was saying. Shelvey is averaging 10 floor points in the three games since Eddie Howe took over. 10. That's a lot. If Ryan Frazier didn't start, I'd be okay with doing that for cash games. Now again, like, so Jordan is probably James Ward-Prowse's biggest fan, while I'm probably the opposite from a
DFL. I'm also Jonjo Shelvey's biggest fan.
I know. So yeah, I was for Southampton. I was watching that Southampton game. I saw Tella take the first two corners. He took them both short to Ward-Prowse. I'm not sure if it means anything. Look, I still think Ward-Prowse is like a good cash play for all the reasons we said, but like I get it. I'm never excited to roster him these days. Like
unless there's a penalty.
Right. I mean, he's the type of guy that can kill you with a penalty or free kick. I mean, it happens all the time. I think Newcastle's matchup is a little bit better than Southampton's, if that matters. But yeah, I don't know. Something to think about. I think like 7,700, you still probably go to Ward-Prowse on this slate. I mean, if for no other reason that he's going to be very popular and you don't want him to kill you, and like it's not like he's a bad play. So, you know, you're still like, you're okay doing that. I don't know.
Both constructions are viable. I'm not poo-pooing like, oh, don't play Trent Alexander-Arnold in cash. It's just that this is a slate where the pricing is tight enough that whatever construction you make, you're going to be looking at going, I don't have that guy. No matter, and that guy will be a different guy, but it's going to be, you're not going to be able to find, assuming that we don't have massive rotation. I mean, this slate would be so much easier if Gross just sits again and we could just play like a Solly March.
Right.
And then I could say, okay, then you could play Westwood March. And then if you don't want to play, then you could choose between Alexander Arnold and James Ward-Prowse. You could play all three. You could play Ward-Prowse and all three and then still play Chris Wood in the forward spot with Sadio Mane. And then everything will kind of fit together like that. So like real, hey, who says, I don't think this is optimal. Who says paying down twice at forward? Is it? I mean, if you paid down twice, if you did something like let's say Tella was in and started and you played Tella plus Wood. And then now you get everyone. Now you get Ward-Prowse. Now you get Trent Alexander-Arnold. You get Andrew Robertson. You probably could pay up for Allison, right? So you kind of mitigate kind of a Salah brace in that instance. But I can't see that being. I feel very uncomfortable. I know I'm the innovator of the dinky do. But it's hard to dinky do on a three game slate, right? And go and look at your forward spots. Going, it's quite possible that at the end of the slate, I have four combined points at forward, and think that I'm going to get to the double up line.
Okay. Yeah. So just one more thing that I was thinking about. So we talked about having to play, you know, one of these 3K midfielders maybe. So does it mean if you're playing Ward-Prowse in cash games, you're probably not playing Westwood? I mean, at least when I'm looking at lineups that I'm making that include Ward-Prowse, they don't necessarily have Westwood. So, I mean, if Westwood can get close to Ward-Prowse, you could make the argument there that, you know, if you're only playing one of them anyways, can't be that bad to play Westwood instead. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, but it feels like I said on the slate, you have three and a half guys. You kind of have like Gross, Ward-Prowse, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. If you want to count Mane in the Gross spot, that's fine also. And obviously you can count Salah, but I can't see Salah being popular in cash at his price with the way the constructions work. So between Gross, Ward-Prowse, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, you probably can't have all three of them in most constructions. So you're going to have to pick two. And you're not going to I don't have Gross in the forward spot. I'm nervous. Or I don't have Trent Alexander-Arnold in the defender spot. I'm nervous. I don't have Ward-Prowse in the midfield spot. I'm nervous. Like, you're not going to be able to get all three, assuming, you know, some massive rotations or anything. It just comes down to which ones are you more comfortable with. And my argument, it's a fine line. I think we're debating very, like, small margins. Like, those three different types of constructions, I think, are very close to one another. But the case that I'm going to side towards is that I think the strongest position is defender and the weakest position is midfield. So I'm much more likely. It's very similar to an NBA DFS type of mentality of when the position is very weak, be inclined to take the raw points at that position and find the value elsewhere. So if power forward, you know, just pay up for, you know, Kevin Durant, right? Because there's no value at that position. So to me, I view that as like Ward-Prowse is that guy in that midfield spot rather than try to take a chance on, you know, a construction with two cheaper midfielders. I think I could find the points at, as long as Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't have a goal, I think I could find enough points with three defenders that even if Trent has an 18-point game, I'll be able to make it up through the totality of my lineup.
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah, I agree with you also. The scarcity at midfield makes Ward-Prowse seem like the play. So then, what about Allison? You playing Allison in cash?
I mean, I'd love to. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to also. I just, like, is it worth it? Like, is it worth it to do that?
Well, on shorter slates, you're more likely to pay up because there's only six goalkeeper options. But, I mean, then we get into that situation. It's like, uh-oh, I don't have Allison in my lineup. I'm nervous. I mean, like you can't get everything on this slate. So there's going to be sacrifices everywhere.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think the more interesting is the GPP play on this slate. Because I don't know about you, but I kind of like the Newcastle guys. Say Maximin and Wilson, because with Mane at 8,200 and Jota at 9,500 on a three-game slate, I can't see them getting that much ownership, right? I mean, like, these Liverpool guys are going to be massively owned in GPPs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Newcastle guys too. I think Newcastle, you know, they were popular last slate. They've somehow become like trendy pretty quickly since the manager change. And I mean, people will look at a home matchup against Burnley, Callum Wilson's goal scoring odds. I think he still gets rostered on this small slate. It's weird to see Newcastle with a 1.5 total. I mean, it's got to be their highest total of the season.
Well, from a roster construction perspective, I mean, even let's say you played three Newcastle guys. Let's say you played Frazier and then two of St. Maximin, Wilson, and Joe Linton. How does that lineup have any of the Liverpool forwards or Trent Alexander-Arnold even in it? So it's like, to me, I think that roster, like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to play these Newcastle guys, I don't think it's a matter of playing Wilson over Mane in your existing lineup. I think it's a matter of, like, fading the Liverpool defenders, hoping Wolves score a goal and Liverpool wins 2-1, and maybe you grab one of the, so you're playing something like Jota plus Wilson plus Frazier plus Joe Linton or something like that, and then neither Robertson or Trent Alexander-Arnold. You grab one goal from the Liverpool game. Newcastle goes and beats Burnley 4-1 or something, 4-0, 3-0. And that's bad. And then obviously we have an Oxlade-Chamberlain substitute goal or something mm-hmm. in the Liverpool game. Or you do the defender, you play Alisson with a center back, a Virgil van Dijk or something like that. You'd like, I'm just fine. It's a three-game slate, so there's only so many ways you could get like different. But right. I'm not thinking of Newcastle in the span of replacing Mane, replacing Salah, replacing Jota with Wilson, with St. like just, and then leaving Robertson in there, like looking like your cash lineup. I'm like, maybe Liverpool just, maybe this is a 1-0 game.
Newcastle
scores three goals.
Yeah, you're getting different based on the whole construction, not just
one guy, right?
Right, not just one guy.
I think you could do it with Southampton. I think you could do it with Southampton. I think you could do it with Brighton also.
Yep.
Right? I mean, playing Maupai, playing like a Maupai, Lamptey, Gross lineup, playing a Armstrong, Adams, Livramento lineup, and you don't play James Ward-Prowse in that lineup, so you get leverage off of like his ownership over there. I mean, but these all involve like not playing Liverpool, basically not playing the Liverpool defenders, because you're not going to be able to afford them because you're filling up your forward and midfield spots with more expensive players. Mm-hmm. I think that's the contrarian construction, because you have to figure, Ryan, that Alexander-Arnold and Robertson are going to be the two highest owned defenders in GPPs.
Yeah, I mean, well, what about Ryan Frazier though?
I mean, I think he'll be the third highest owned.
Okay.
But at least when you play Frazier, see, the thing is, you could play Frazier at that ownership because you're playing other Newcastle guys, so Frazier assists those guys. But when you play the Liverpool guys, it's like, well, who do they assist? Well, the chalkiest forwards on the slate. So it's like, to me, you're not gaining it. Like, to me, playing three or four Liverpool players together on this slate, it feels like you're not gaining anything. Like all these guys are going to be owned in some combination. I'd rather take a shot, take a shot on Thiago or Henderson, take a shot on one of these midfielders that are overpriced. Fabinho, right? They're the ones that score the goal, and then fade all the other Liverpool guys. To me, on a three-game slate, That's a way of saying that Liverpool do win this game, but that all the players in the game, other than like one that's lower owned, is the only one that's worth having. Maybe Mane has 8 points. Maybe Salah has 13 points. Jota has 10 points, but like they're not necessary. Like I could find those points from anywhere. But having like Thiago or one of the midfield Henderson, you know, with 16, especially when midfield is so weak. To me, I think if you could get out of your two midfield spots only, if you could get 30 points out of two midfielder spots, I think that puts you way ahead off of like tons of lineups on the slate, regardless if Salah scores a goal, if any of the forwards score a goal. So to me, I'm trying, like, where can I find the goals in the midfield spot? And to me, the Liverpool midfielders, they're in the highest total game as the biggest favorite, and they offer the most amount of leverage negatively correlated to the five chalkier Liverpool pieces.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So first, I think you can make an argument, you know, fading Liverpool is definitely viable. Wolves have been pretty stingy lately. I think 3 straight clean sheets, not like giving up a ton of chances playing at home. Like it's, you know, the Liverpool are the biggest favorites on the slate, but it's not like a smash spot. I mean, Salah has -130 goal scoring odds, which does not deserve a $12,000 salary. So yeah, I think fading Liverpool is a good option, or like playing, you know, doing it the way you said. That's actually what I did on Saturday's slate. It was very frustrating. I had Henderson and Fabinho, and it ended up being Thiago who scored and Van Dijk that scored. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Just in general, like, at least for me, I really like these smaller slates. I have a tough time getting away from my strategy. I tend to, you know, they play similar to cash games. I want to play them in a way like cash games. Like playing three defenders on this slate seems like the edge to me. A lot of times floors are going to be very important on these slates. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to go for goals in all these other games, but there's a pretty good chance that no forwards get on the score sheet from the Southampton-Brighton game. I don't know if Chris Wood and Callum Wilson don't score. Maybe no forwards score in that other game. I mean, big floors can really come into play on these smaller slates, so it's tough for me to get away from that strategy. But yeah, and you know, there's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah, building off that, I just have a question here for GPPs. So like, if you don't fade Liverpool, you take the favorable, the Liverpool approach that, you know, probably the majority of people are going to do. So you get Salah on the team, you get maybe another striker, that kind of thing. So we've seen it before where like the Liverpool match has all the goals and then the other two matches maybe scoreless, maybe 1-0, something like that. What if you added, you know, you got the cheap guys like Raul Jimenez, you got Hee Chan in there. Like if this match turns into like a 3-2 type of thing, Wolves get a couple goals. Like we've seen already Liverpool give up goals away from home. They gave up, what, 3 to Brentford, 3 to West Ham. They gave up a couple to Atletico Madrid in Champions League. So it's not like impossible for Wolves to score a couple goals. So like if you put those two together, maybe this match is the only one with goals. I think that would be, you know, probably won't be too popular just because it's Wolves here in this spot.
It's viable. I mean, it's not a route that I'm going to go, but I mean, it's a 3-game slate. So you could think of plenty of, you know, situations. Maybe Liverpool Wolves are 0-0 and maybe Brighton Southampton is 4-3. I mean, you could say the same thing for any of these games. But I'd be more inclined to, like, I understand Ryan's thing of like with the least amount of options on a slate, floors become a little bit more important. But also on a 3-game slate, if one game has all the goals and the other two really don't, it'll be more important to have a lot of pieces from that one game. So if you want to build lineups, if you want to build a Newcastle stack and then also play Wood in that lineup, play Wood and Westwood in that lineup, I think that's perfectly viable also. Of course, if the game goes 1-0, you're dead. I mean, whatever. But, I mean, that's what you play GPPs for. So, I mean, that's viable as well. I mean, all of these are viable. It's just which ones are you going to take? And I'm going to lean more on the side of stacking, like, the non-Liverpool games more so than think that and play chalk Liverpool with a low-owned, like, Wolves pieces. So I think more often than not, enough that there are goals in the other two games rather than, you know, the Liverpool game is 4-3.
So I just want to say here, do you guys ever put anything into weather with these? Like, you know, it's a big thing in NFL weather. And you could, like, we saw what is a snow game between Leicester and I forget who it was a couple weeks ago. But, like, what if, you know, there's snow in this bad weather or something?
Yeah, but it's all in England. If there's snow one place, there's snow everywhere. I mean, like,
that's these places,
they're not playing that far apart from each other from a weather pattern perspective. I mean, they're playing in Newcastle and Wool. I mean, yeah, Newcastle is a bit far, and Southampton, like, the difference between Newcastle and Southampton is decent enough. But it's not like we're talking about East Coast, West Coast of the United States or anything like that. If it's cold and windy in one place, it's most likely cold and windy everywhere. So, like, to me, I don't even concern myself with the weather. And in Premier League play, in Champions League, when they're going all over Europe, when they're going to Azerbaijan, where they're going to Bulgaria on some goat pasture or something like that, yeah, then it matters. But I don't know about you, Ryan, but I don't even consider a weather report at all.
No, not really. And it's because of my next question, Adam. So is snow, you know, one of those crazy snow games like we just saw, is that better or worse for the players from a DFS perspective?
Do I have to answer this?
because it goes, like, I bring that up because it goes both ways. Yeah. Sometimes in those weather games, you know, it causes, you know, nothing to happen, not much to happen. Other times you see a lot of goals that you would never see in mm-hmm. decent weather. So, I mean, it's kind of like,
it's don't either scoreless, no shots, or it's 4-3 and right. the ball is going between the goalkeeper's legs, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, it's the same type of thing in NFL. Like, when people are, oh, it's bad weather. Like, it's not like no wind, but it's like rain and snow. And I'm like, oh, this game's going to be very sloppy. But they think sloppy on the offensive side. And they don't think, like, yeah, but the defenders could slip. Like, dude, if a cornerback slips in man-to-man coverage, like, dude, that's an 80-yard touchdown. So, right. like that right. could happen as much for the cornerbacks as for the wide receivers. So, like, the same thing occurs in soccer that, yeah, maybe the ball, you know, jarts around in whatever, there are puddles or something like that. But, dude, the defenders slip as much as the attacking players. So, to me, it evens itself out. It doesn't make it worthwhile. And then, especially with, I mean, Ryan, you're in London. Like, what is there that dramatic of a difference between the weather in London and the weather in Liverpool on the same day?
Well, I'm not in London at the moment, but yeah, no, not usually. But it was weird to see, like, in the just this last week, those games in the north had crazy snow, and the ones in London weren't quite as bad. I mean, the Burnley game got postponed against Tottenham. But yeah, you know, it's usually pretty similar. You're right. You know, it's not a huge place, so it's usually pretty similar. Adam, I just wanted to say, Raul Jimenez strategy, or Wolves, not necessarily Wolves forwards, but at least Raul Jimenez. Like, I'm looking for those guys who people aren't as likely to consider. You know, there isn't as much opportunity cost in rostering the quote unquote bad plays, or, you know, if you want to say these, you know, they're bad plays in comparison to the rest of the slate, but all he has to do is score. And there's no guarantee to be goals when you have two other matchups only, especially in the Premier League. So I do like that. Like, I know I always say, like, the easiest way to win one of these smaller field tournaments is to get a goal or two from a player that nobody has. And, you know, that's easier to do when there's less games. So yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I wasn't considering it before, but I am now.
Adam, to close the show, do you want to do it or should I?
Oh, you have one? I mean, if you have one, go
ahead.
No.
I don't have one, but I know you do. Let's just get it out of the way. Shane Duffy, 32 homers.
Well, yeah, he is on the slate. So the thing is, he just hasn't, I don't know, he hasn't been getting many shots, so.
He's due.
I don't know, there's no one.
Ben Bednarik is out, so they're going to be, he's not going to be a center back for Southampton, so. That opens up some more aerial ability.
Yeah, there's a free shots for
free the, headers,
for
free
the
headers.
Brighton center backs. Yep, that's right. Yeah, no, I mean, you got to spend on defender in the slate. It's just too hard to, you know, just punt on a defender and hope for a goal. Just like
we're going to say that if three center backs are going to score tomorrow.
Hey, I mean, yeah, that'll probably happen, but I
will say, yeah,
just little reason.
Yeah, there's little reason, but you could do, you know, you could still play two expensive defenders, you know, Trent or Robertson with Frazier or one of the Brighton guys. And then instead of punting at midfield, you can punt one of the center backs at util on these slates, like a Fabian Schär for min price. Frazier can assist to him. I don't mind playing on smaller slates. I don't mind necessarily punting for one of these center backs as long as I'm still playing two defenders. Though I'm not gonna put one at the defender spot most likely. But it makes sense to play them over Bissouma or Brownhill or someone like that. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're paying up for Salah, like there will be punts. So. That'll probably be a strategy. You know, Lianco and the Lachelles or Ayashar are the, you know, minimum price defenders. So, you know, people will be doing it. So.
Yep.
Otherwise, goalkeeper, like we already mentioned, Ali Sohn. And if you don't go him, are you just looking down? Like Nick Pope going against Newcastle, he's 4,300. Jose Sa,
whoever you want. Who cares? Either you're paying up for Allison or just whatever, and then it just becomes whatever.
Yep. Either you pay up for Allison or you play whatever correlates with your lineup. I wouldn't even think about it. Anything beyond that.
So with Schär, you want Dubravka at 5,100.
Why not? Why not? Who cares? It's goalkeeper. Yeah.
Anyone? Yeah, really. It kind of matters even less on these smaller slates. Yeah, whoever.
All right, cool. All right, I think we covered it all. You guys have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just these Liverpool slates. It's a lot of Liverpool talk and then some Newcastle sprinkled in here and there. But all right, if anyone has any questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belongi. I am at Roto Zadroyek. You can find us in the RotoWire Discord. That's rotowire.com/chat. To get involved with that, you can get a free 10-day trial at RotoWire. That's rotowire.com/soccer trial. No credit card required. Make sure to like and subscribe. YouTube, podcasts, wherever you listen, wherever you watch. And thank you to So Rare. Ryan, Jordan, thanks for the show. And I guess good luck to everyone who uses Salah because he's probably going to be getting a hat trick this weekend. So if you guys aren't using him, sorry for your loss then. But thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.